Say this with me if you want to. Always want you to know, I'm never demanding that you got to do what I tell you to do. You know, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Just saying, but sometimes just say, I choose life. I choose blessing. I renounce curses. I renounce poverty. I choose prosperity. I renounce death. I choose life. And we've been talking about that out of Deuteronomy. And one of those things that has helped me here lately, you know, as I think about this, you know, how many years I've been doing this. Got saved when I was 8, and you know, sometimes I wasn't growing very much. Sometimes I wasn't growing at all. Other times, very, very, very intense in my life. And yet after now, you know, after all these years, I'm still just so hungry to know the truth and to walk in the truth. And there's so many things to learn. And this last week, there was just, a flood of things that I've taught for a long time, done a long time, that just seem like I've seen more clearly. And so I'm hoping to get some of that across today. But choosing life, sometimes, you know, when you got a lot of, I don't know, decisions every day, I don't know if you get tired of them, but once in a while I just want to say, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm so tired of making decisions. Because, you know, Lisa called me the other day and said, you know, you want to bring something home for dinner? I said, yeah, what do you want? She says, do not ask me. You know, and normally that would be something she'd have, you know, but it's like all the little decisions we're making on the church right now and all that. It's just like I'm wary of. But anyway, at the same time, it's always good to be, you know, I was just talking to Neil, and Robert's doing really well. His voice is stronger. He's stronger, you know, and that's a real miracle. And we're keep believing. But you gotta fight. You gotta resist. You gotta get up in the morning and go after it. You know, at the same time, you gotta learn how to rest. And that balance between all that is just what we call everyday life. That's amazing. But sometimes I'm just doing this. When I got all these decisions, I stop and I just say, I choose life. I'm not sure what I'm going to choose on this particular thing right now, but bottom line is I choose life. I'm going to choose life, and I'm going to stick with that. And sometimes just saying that, every time I say that, it's just like, okay, our feet are on solid ground here. I choose life. So when you choose life, you are choosing Jesus, because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, I think it's important sometimes to remember that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that is Jesus. So when we talk about Jesus now, he took on a fleshly body, but he was there at the beginning. He is the truth. He came into a physical body so he could save us, but he is the truth. He's always been the truth. He's always been the life. He has been the light. And when you say, I choose life, you're saying, I choose Jesus. But when you say, I chose Jesus, you're saying, I choose truth. I choose life, and I choose the goodness of God in every situation. And I choose the way. Now, this word way is interesting. When Jesus said, I am the way, the Greek actually means I am a way of thinking and a way of processing. So when you choose life, you're choosing a way of thinking. And of course, we've talked about it a lot, but boy, what you think is so important. The Bible says, as a man thinketh within himself, so is he. And when we, how we perceive things and is who we really are. Okay, so Bible says no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. You know, and people get in there and start arguing with other religions and Jesus is the only way, and I'm all with that. But I'm just thinking, when you think about that, no one comes to the Father except through Christ, through Jesus. Well, what you're saying is no one comes to the Father God without truth. It's got to be based on truth. It can't be a falsehood. It can't be just a propaganda. You got to come to God by truth. How else? You got to come to him, you know, in life. What is life? It's spirit. You, If you're going to go to the Father and have a relationship with him, it's got to go through Jesus. It's got to go through, because he is a spirit. You got to be born of the Spirit. And so that's the only way you can get that is through Jesus. And so when we say we choose life, the more you understand what you're choosing, the more you see it more clearly, the more powerful that choice is going to be. In TNC, when we had that course, I think it was the second course, second class in that. Anyway, one of the titles was All Seeds Grow. And so in that course, we were teaching that, you know, all seeds have the power to grow. It's really kind of amazing to me. I've shared a lot, but it still amazes me that a little acorn or whatever else has got the diagram and the blueprint for a complete life, that for from some trees they'll live for thousands of years. It knows how to fight diseases. It knows how to grow. It knows all that stuff on that little seed. The seed is a powerful thing. All seeds grow, but then we were listening to Andrew on Wednesday night, you know, teaching him, and that it just kind of really hit me. Yeah, I teach all things, all seeds grow. Well, but there's conditions on that. Seeds don't grow in a package. They don't grow in the grain bin. There's seeds in the desert that won't grow for years until the water comes. But one thing a seed needs, it has to be in the earth. It's really a powerful thing when you think about it. A seed has to be in the earth. And I've always, you know, Andrew was sharing about down this line. I remember as a kid, I'd plant, you know, I'd like to be in the garden with my mom. And for some reason, I was fascinated with watermelons. But when we plant those and they start coming up, I really was checking on them. And boy, I killed a lot of plants as a kid. You know, just tugging on them, trying to help them grow and pull the root system out. But you take any seed, you put it in the dirt today, and then you open that up and tomorrow and pull it out and see how it's doing and put it back in. You know, it has to be in the dirt, and it has to remain there. It has to stay there. Now think about that in light of the spiritual side, because Jesus definitely said, the sower sows the word, which is the seed of God. And he said, the seed, the word of God, has to go into the heart. So the heart represents the earth, you know, in the spiritual realm, or the earth represents the heart, vice versa. And it has to go into the heart and has to stay. Now, when I think about all seeds grow, the thing that really hit me this week that I hadn't, I don't know why, it just really stood out is, you know, you were a success in your mother's womb out of millions of seeds. Only one seed brought you in this earth. All the rest didn't grow. You think about that. So people say, well, I've been in the Word. They said Khrushchev got, you know, sent to Siberia and said that he read his Bible every day. And I just think about how many people have heard sermons, heard the Word, read the Bible, whatever else, and yet it's like you could be flooded with a bunch of seeds, but the only ones that are going to grow are the ones that penetrate into the heart and stay there. And stay there. And, of course, we know the parable of the, there's all kinds of, even if you stay there, there's a challenge of it being choked out. But you think, so when you think about how much word you've taken in, how much word you and I have taken in the beginning was the Word, and it's truth, and it's life, and it's spirit, and we took it, you know, we've heard it, but the only ones that will grow and produce a harvest are the ones that get into the earth, into the dirt, into the heart, and grow. And I just saw it a little, for me, it was like, how important it is to make sure our seed is in our heart. And to realize that, obviously, all the word you've heard and all the word I have heard hasn't all produced. And not to be discouraged, but to say, I need to go back and make sure that I've got seed in my heart, not just my head. And how do you do that? How do you figure that out? In Genesis 1:11, it says this, then God said, let the earth, this is like the second day of creation, it says, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of the earth bearing fruit after their own kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their own kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And so here's our whole foundation of the way he created all things. Was what produces a result, a harvest, a fruit? The earth. The earth. If a seed isn't going into the earth, and once a seed is in the earth, it's got all the plans, it's got all the things, but it doesn't produce. It's the earth that produces. I don't know about you, but I just think it's fascinating. I just think, you know, I think the miracle of being born again is extraordinarily above the miracle of a seed being in the ground. But the seed being in the ground blows my mind that a seed can go in the ground, and out of that earth, it will produce a fruit. And I just never get over it that it will produce a carrot, which is orange. Has a crunchy taste to it, you know, and a flavor to it. And then it produces, you know, kind of a pepper. And that's hotter and blazes and make your lips burn. It came out of the earth. It came out of dirt. How does it put, that's one heck of a chemistry set. We're made out of dirt and we're just phenomenal. And that dirt is what produces life on the earth. What produces life in us is our heart. It is the dirt. And when a seed goes in there, it will produce. Jesus taught simple things, but they're so powerful. The farmer gets up and goes to bed and doesn't even know how to take his place, and it works. No farmer sits there and sweats it at night. I wonder if the seed's going to work today. Nobody does that. And nobody really understands how it works, but it still works. And so you don't have to understand everything, but you got to do. But the seed has to go into the heart and not the head. And I think that's a kind of really a quandary, because what makes a difference? So when it comes down to choosing life, there's things that are important about that. It's, it is a powerful thing just to say, I choose life. That sets things in motion, and that sets things, for the seed to go in. But then there's things that have to take place, and one of those things is discipline, self-control. What a beautiful, self-control not to pull up the seed out of the dirt. As a kid, I did not have self-control. And I can't tell you how many little watermelons I cut open to see if they were ripe. And hardly ever got one to ripe because I always was checking on them, And then I figured, I won't go into all that. But that was a issue in my life. It takes self-control. And Jesus said that, in the Deuteronomy, it says, so choose life and do that by loving the Lord your God, and listening to him. So in this process of having a crop, we need to have a shama. Now, shama is that word that I've been using. It's a real favorite word to me. In my heart meditations, you can do things to kind of help you get your brain to slow down and your heart to pick up. And one of those things is just meditation. And in doing meditation, there's physical things you can do get you in that zone. So I have some processes I use. Jim Richards, some of his stuff, when I got a hold of it, I started using it more. And so I do things, and you can learn them real easy about learning how to get into heart meditation. And literally your brain starts slowing down the process, so your heart starts, it's amazing. I don't know how it all works, but but for me to step into my heart zone, I use a key word, to kind of get me there, and the word is shama. And it's where Solomon said, Lord, I don't know how to lead these people. And he said, and the Lord said, what do you want? And he said, I don't want vengeance. I don't want to just rule my enemies. I don't want to just be rich. I don't want to just all that stuff. I want to have, I'm asking for wisdom. And the word there is a hearing heart. Well, it makes sense that a hearing heart would be wisdom, wouldn't it? And so this word shamans, boy, really been special to me. Well, I was looking it up again and looking through it, and I didn't realize, but man, shamans used about 1,000 times in the Old Testament. I mean, it's like, it's really, it's used a lot. It's everywhere in there to hear. So in Isaiah, it says this, let's see, what's Isaiah 28:23? Somebody look that up for me. Anybody got it? Yeah.
Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words.
All right. Give an ear to my voice. Be intent. Listen and hear my words. And the word there, listen, is shama. There's so much power in the intent of our heart to say, I want to hear. I choose to hear. I'm going to hear. I'm going to set time aside to hear. And I think, you know, people say, well, I've just been so busy. But, you know, just think about it. This thing is going all the time. Your life is going all the time. It's a matter of just choosing sometimes to say, instead of sitting there worrying about stuff, instead of, you know, fussing about things and all that, just say, I'm in the car. I got time to shama. You know, I don't run the radio much, and I don't think that, I think it's wise to listen to good music and all that. But man, when I can get alone and control my thoughts of saying, I'm going to, the intent of my heart, I got a trip to Rapid City. The intent of my heart is to think about, what are you saying to me, Lord? How do I see it better? And just visit with him. So incline your ear, be bent, have a focus. Do you know, think about this. I was just thinking coming in today, I was just saying, man, all relationships are about listening. Do you know what breaks marriages up? Nobody listening. You know, isn't it disgusting to share your heart and then 5 seconds later, the person doesn't even know what you said? And you go, you really don't care. You really don't care. Now, give them a break. Most of them are already in the early stages of dementia. So, it is amazing how many times we really just don't listen. We got so much going on, we don't listen. But listening is such a, of all the things in life to learn how to perfect. If I want to cry, if I just want to get some, you know, fluid through my eyeballs, I watch some of the America's Got Talent or whatever. And some little kid gets up there or some old gentleman and they don't expect anything and he comes out and I just sit there and cry. I don't know. It just gets me. But I think about how hard people work sometimes to perfect any type of a skill, you know, sports, whatever else. And I think, man, if there's anything to kind of get your, we talked about purpose last week, but just to get your mind, I've got a purpose to succeed. I've got a purpose to be alive. I got a purpose to choose life. I got a purpose to be dynamic. I've got a purpose to display the glory of God on this earth. I've got a purpose to worship him, adore him, and represent him on the earth. And to, here's how am I going to do that? Focus in on hearing. Focus in on listening. I was talking to a gal, you know, and she just said her son, this winter, the pipes froze in the house, and he's not mechanical, and his mom's more mechanical than he is. And then she couldn't get there or whatever else, and he couldn't reach her, and he knew the pipes were froze. And he says, Lord, I don't know anything about this. And he said, Holy Spirit, can you help me? And he said, literally, the Holy Spirit said, you know, get a heater, put it on there, shut that off, turn this on. And he said, wait 2 hours, came back in, turn this back on, I don't know what all he saw him, but he said it worked. And he goes, wow, I could ask the Holy Spirit a lot of things, couldn't I? And he started just asking the Holy Spirit on how to do this and how to do that. And he just goes, it's working. And you go, huh, I wonder if we ought to do that a little bit more. You ever thought about that? I can't tell you how many times I'm working on something and I just, oh, I don't know what's going on. And it's funny how many times it doesn't come up into my mind to say, Holy Spirit, I need some help here. Can you talk? And it's amazing how many times when I do, it's like, oh, I figured, you know, you can say you figured it out, but he'll speak to you. He'll teach you. He says, incline your ear to me. Why? Isaiah 28, 24 says this. Does the farmer plow continually? Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? No, not continually. Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs him and teaches him properly. Isn't that good? You know what we do sometimes? We get one word from the Lord. And then we just do that. And it's like, wait, man, we're just keep plowing the field, plowing the field, plowing the field, plowing the field, plowing the field. It's like, you got to go back to the teacher. Now what do? Yeah. I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose the way of thinking. I choose to be enlightened by him. You know, it goes on in that Isaiah there, it goes on to say a little later on that, you know, that the way that you harvest dill is different than the way you harvest wheat, and you don't do everything the same. And it says, and again it says, but the farmer, it says, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. Oh, if we, you know, if we perfect anything in our life, perfect Shama. If there's anything to be focused down on, is Shama. And part of that first thing he's got to do is you got to have faith that he meant what he said. That he said, I'll show you the way. I'll counsel you. My eye will be upon you. There's Psalms that says, you know, during the night our inward parts will instruct us. So many times I go to bed and I just go, man, God, thank you for speaking to me tonight. Thank you. It actually says kidneys, but and it's amazing when you actually get into it, how your liver has control on certain, like your anger emotions come from your liver. If you're angry all the time, your liver's going to be screwed up. You know, if your liver's screwed up, you're going to be angry. You know, but anyway, the Bible just says my inward parts will instruct me in the night. And how many of you know that so many times you got to bed with a problem and woke up in the morning with the answer? You go, oh, I know what to do now. His counsel is wonderful. Ezekiel 44 says this, the Lord said to me, now I have to tell you this, I was just spending time with the Lord and preparing, and I heard him say, turn to Ezekiel 44. I always like it when the verse is actually there. Always makes me a little nervous when it says, you know, he'll say Ezekiel 44, verse 60, and I go, boy, I hope there's 60 verses in there. And sometimes it's not. But I can't tell you how many times he is now telling me where to turn. It's happening daily right now. But anyway, this is one of those, just like clue you in. He says, the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning the statutes of the house of the Lord, concerning all its laws. And it goes on, but I just want to. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And again, Andrew was talking about this. Part of this Shama, part of this hearing God is seeing it. You meditate on it until you can see it. A lot of great stories here. One just came in this week. Talking to my chiropractor, and he said he'd gone to a conference in California, and one of the guys that speaks there a lot, he's triathlon man too, but anyway, he was riding his bicycle and a dump truck hit him. Or I think it might have been a garbage truck, Scott. I don't know. But I don't know about you, but it's like, you know, when you hear somebody got hit or like these earthquakes, you know, it's like, oh, man, I don't know. But I'm a visual person, so I start seeing buildings coming down and people going, what do? Where do I jump or whatever? But anyway, to get hit by the truck when you're on a bicycle doesn't sound like a really good idea to me. Anyway, it wasn't a good idea, and it busted his back. And the vertebrae, I think, is around T10, I'm not sure. But so he obviously had to go to the hospital. Two surgeons looked him over and said, well, we're going to have to fuse that. It's just, you got to have one vertebrae, just is all busted out. And he just went home, lay down on his bed. And he just didn't feel right. And I don't know if he's a believer or I don't know anything about that. He was just sharing his, sharing this. He sat there, he laid on the bed, and he said, he just started visualizing that vertebrae. And he, in his mind, he outlined, he studied it well enough, he knew of enough, and he just started going over every little piece of that vertebrae in his mind, seeing it all. Kind of like he was on a computer program to design. And he was designing that vertebrae in every little detail. And he laid there and he did that. And I don't know how long it took, but that vertebrae totally repaired itself. He never had the surgery. And I got countless stories of people that will say they were laying in their bed, and the Bible says, lay in your bed and Selah, meditate. I used to do that all the time as a young man, but I'd tell my bachelor friends, I'm going to go meditate. And they said, yeah, you're just going to go take a nap. Well, I did take a nap, but you can, in and out of that nap, you can see a lot of things. But here God is saying, when it comes to hearing him, when it comes to Shama, it's hear with your ears, but see with your eyes. And it's not talking about these eyes, it's talking about the eyes of your heart. And again, this is when you were born from your mother, there had to be a conception. There had to be a moment of conception. That seed has to have a moment where it knows it's in the earth for it to break down its outer shell to let the process begin. And when it comes to the Word of God, instead of just trying to take in volumes of knowledge and volumes of scripture sometimes, to sit and take one word, one thought, and sit and meditate on it until you see it. You see it. So I decided, you know, being a doer of the Word of God is a real big thing to me. People go and they hear a great sermon. Man, that was a great sermon. That was great. It's like Luke and I will laugh, or my whole family. But Braveheart, you know, when he goes, gives a speech about going out to battle. And anyway, one of his friends says, great speech. Now what do we do? Great word. Now what do we do? And if you don't take a word, and I was thinking about this, you know, we have church every Sunday, and we used to have services all the time, and some, you know, and I know a lot of people think, man, if the doors are open, be in church. Well, you're not going to hear me say that. I'm just saying, you know, in one way, if you showed up once a year, now you don't have to. If you showed up once a year, but you took a word, you took one word, and you meditated on that, and you took the time to see in and out, and you just keep looking at it, staring at it until you can see it manifesting. I mean, we take in so much, and we just got a gazillion, million words coming to us and think, wow, that's great. Yeah, but it's only the word that gets conceived in your heart that stays in the dirt until it brings forth a harvest. It's going to bring a harvest. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The one reason we want to show up together, one reason we want to read your Bible all the time, is because the other words help water that and feed it and bring it. And you keep your heart right to where it, because your heart's what's going to produce your life. Your whole life right now is a product of your heart. You are where you are today because of the products of your heart. Don't let that condemn you. Just let that give you encouragement that you can change your garden. I pulled up a lot of good seeds. I pulled up a lot of weeds in my life. A lot of weeds. So take a word, but just don't let it just, oh, that was great, and walk off. Take the time to. And so, especially after my chiropractor was just sharing about this guy, just, you know, it works for a believer or non-believer. It's truth. It's just truth. When he sat there and just, because I don't even know how you do that. I mean, I don't know about a vertebrae enough to sit there and analyze it until I can see it form and everything. You know, I don't know it that well. But there's other things that I don't have. But by the way, can I just say thank you, Jesus? You know, a couple of years ago, I was up here, my back, I was asking for prayer for my back. I was thinking I maybe couldn't travel, you know, all that. Praise God, it's all gone. Man, even my chiropractor goes, man, you're moving for an old guy. He didn't say it that way, but that's what he meant. Matthew 14 says this, and he said, bring them here to me. And or, you remember when the fishes and the loaves? Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and took the 2 fishes, and looking up towards heaven. Now, some would just say, well, he's just looking to his Father. He's just, you know, going to pray. But the word looking there means to reignite sight. And I think there's a really good chance what Jesus did, he took the loaves and he took the fish and then he lifted up, got his eyes off the temporal. He might have had his eyes shut when he looked up because he was looking with the eyes of his heart. Paul said this in Ephesians, may the eyes of your heart see. And I think he just saw the answer of what he's supposed to do. I think he saw. And then, don't let me freak you out. Don't let me. But your body's made out of dirt, air, earthly stuff. Everything that you see is made out of that. It's just a matter of how it joins together. I think you just saw that. He could multiply that bread. The Bible actually says that he laid down his deity and he walked as a son of man. What he did, we can do. It's very possible. He saw that bread multiply and those fish multiply. If we're going to be here on earth, why not do something the way we were created to do it? We were created to create. Our purpose is to be like him. Ephesians 1:18 says that, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this, how many of you know that your bodily exercise is important? Anybody? Not doing as well as they think they ought to. Bodily discipline is only of little profit. Bodily discipline is only of little profit. Now, may I say that little is pretty big. It's of little profit, but it is definitely a profit. I couldn't figure out why I was getting all these little reels or whatever coming up on my phone about how to think when you're turned 70. I just thought, Jordan Peterson, I mean, why is he talking so much about turning 70? And I realized, oh, they know I'm turning 70, so they're sending me all this stuff, you know. So, but one of the things you just said is you got to keep moving. Don't try to lift heavy weights, but keep moving. Just keep, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how important it is to keep moving on your body. And yet he says, this is of little profit. And if you know how big that profit is, then you know there's got to be something even more profitable if that's little. Amen? Bodily discipline is little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, for it holds a promise for this present life and also for the life to come. The discipline it takes to physically stay in shape and all that is amazing, but it's little profit compared to the discipline of being godly, which means piety, which means to be focused in on truth and life and blessings and prosperity through God. This can be said. So earlier this week, I just looked at all this stuff I was looking at, and I go, I need to put something into practice here. I need to get a focus. I need to get discipline. I need to use self-control. And so therefore, I've got to focus down. And so I picked four things that I was just going to exercise this on, to where I spent time visualizing them. And I won't even attempt to tell you what they are, because some of them, I didn't want to just do something super spiritual. I mean, I got... Some of it is concerning my own body. And it's not like it's important. It's just something I want to practice. You know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta pick up a dumbbell. Now, what a great name. Just a dumbbell. Sometimes you really practice your prayer life on something that isn't, you know, really important, just so you can learn how to do the mechanics of it. And so I picked four things that I am now going through, and I got it right on my phone, and throughout the day I'll just stop every once on. I just stop and see it manifested. Just looking at it and saying, I see this. I see it. I see it. I see it, and just realize that's in my heart, and the earth will produce that harvest. Hallelujah. So if you see hair down to my butt here in a few weeks, no, that wasn't what I, it's not what I picked. Godliness, let me read you a definition. Respect, piety, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is well-pleasing to him. Godliness is a focus, Godward, of saying it's what's well-pleasing. You know what's well-pleasing to God? You cannot please God without faith. And faith is hearing the word and letting it conceive. Hear it and see it and take the time to keep it in the heart and let it bring forth the roots and the harvest. We do this all day long massively in the area of fear and worry. Do we not? We see the trouble coming. We're ducking before it even comes at us because we're so convinced that bad things are going to happen. We can take this and have a profit of godliness of visualizing. And so I'm encouraging you, don't try to just do everything I'm preaching and everything else you're listening to. Get with God and say, give me a focus. Let me become a master at godly discipline. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for life. I thank you that we have chosen life. I thank you that we have chosen blessing. We've chosen prosperity. We've chosen success. And I thank you that your honor is, and like the farmer, I thank you that your counsel will be wonderful to us. You will, each one of us in our own individual way, it's a personal thing with you and us and individually, but I thank you for bringing a clear focus to us of growing in this area of faith, of understanding that you're the living word, you're everything, you're all the truth, but we just need sometimes one seed for one particular harvest. We commit to you to say, we want to be trained. We want to grow in this. And you, I know, are all for it. So together, we will see the glory here on earth. And in the life to come, who knows what you have for us? Because this godly discipline is profitable for this life and for the age to come. We set our hearts and the intent of our heart now in Jesus' name. And thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Say, I choose life. I choose blessing. I choose prosperity. I renounce death. I renounce curses. I see it. God bless you.